The Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, says that the greatest wonder of the world is that no man, though he sees others dying all around him, believes that he himself will die. Well, of course, we all know deep down that someday we will pass on. We just choose to not think about it too much. It'll happen when it happens, we tell ourselves. Woody Allen was once asked about what he would like people to say at his funeral. And he said, "Look, he's breathing." Clinging to life. Woody also said, "I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Well, many of us can relate to that. We'd rather just kind of skip over that part. But the more we push down and don't face our fears around death, the more power we give them. Brought into the light, death really isn't so scary. And it actually can be richly instructive in how to live. How many of you have lost someone to death, someone you love? How many of you have been with someone as they were approaching their death? Yeah, that's something, isn't it? I had the great honor and blessing of being with each of my parents as they approached their transition. They died 10 years apart, each of them in a different residential hospice facility in Florida. And what I remember from that time is that it felt like I was in a whole different world. It seemed that time slowed way down, and all the outside world just disappeared. What was most essential came very sharply into focus. And all that mattered is that I was with them, loving them, caring for them, appreciating them. Against the backdrop of impending death, what is most important comes very vividly to the forefront, does it not? And I found that even with my father, who, as I have shared with you before, could be a real son of a gun, even with my father as he was approaching his death, I felt nothing but love. All the old issues seemed small and irrelevant. All I knew is that he was my dad, and I loved him. And so I would sit by his bedside reading and watching him sleep, and periodically he would wake up, and he always looked at me with surprise, and he'd say, "You're still here." And I'd say, "Of course." Those days that I spent with my father and also with my mother, of course they were sad, but they were also very precious. They were days filled with love and grace. I held my mom's hand. I rubbed my father's feet. I wiped their brow. I was there. And when the time was right, I let them know that it was okay to let go. I told them that I loved them, and they let me know that they loved me. I realized I was extremely fortunate in having that time with my parents before they made their transition. Not everyone is so fortunate. But however it occurs, the experience of losing a loved one to death brings us right to the edge of the unknown. It brings us right to that veil that the choir was just singing about. And it also wakes us up to our own mortality. You know, newly reminded that life is impermanent, we may find ourselves asking questions of ourselves like, what am I doing with my life? Am I living on purpose? Am I doing what I really love? Am I being the person that I most want to be? Am I giving my time and attention to what I most value? I've noticed, especially as we age, we realize that we don't have forever. Well, you may remember a book About 15 years ago, a book came out called Tuesdays with Maury. Everybody remember that book? I think it was a bestseller. It was by Mitch Albom. And in it, the author shares the conversations that he had with his aging friend Maury as he was approaching his death. And at one point, Maury tells him, learn how to die, and you learn how to live. Well, that may seem a little bit confusing when we first think about it. In his book, How Then Shall We Live, Wayne Muller writes, if we follow what we love, if we live deeply and attentively in the moment, we will not feel bound by regret at the moment of our death. We will live with reverence for all things and a deep gratefulness for the gift of a single day upon the earth. Thus, our death begs us to live well and with joy. As Jesus told his followers, the message of his life and death was simple: to remind them to be awake and alive. I have come that you may have life, he told them, and have it abundantly. We live abundantly when we are aware that life is impermanent, that indeed we don't have forever. And so our time becomes a treasure. The moments and the days are precious. Well, Wayne Muller offers five spiritual practices that are actually part of the dying process. People go through these different practices, consciously or not, as they are preparing to make their transition, but these same five spiritual practices are extremely valuable to us as we live our lives. And the first of them is acceptance. Acceptance. When we accept what is, we give up struggling and instead find peace. Have you not found it to be so? That so much of your struggle in life and your difficulty is about resisting what is. It's not that you don't want to be mindful of a situation and take responsible action, but sometimes, we get a big head of steam. It shouldn't be this way. We create our own suffering when we do that. So acceptance certainly includes accepting the fact and the truth and the reality that at some point, we will die. Wayne Muller writes, we mistakenly believe that if we accept our death, we will begin to die. Curiously, the reverse is true. When we accept we are already dying, we are set free to live. He suggests that we say to ourselves each day, and many times during the day, I could die today. I could die today. Now, the chances are very high that you will not die today. But say it with me and notice what happens together. I could die today. Again, I could die today. Once more, I could die today. Do you not feel how that's so sharply focuses you on the treasure and the preciousness of now? It's like waking up out of our denial, isn't it? Well, Joseph Goldstein offers another spiritual tool for helping us be more accepting. And he talks about the fact that quite often we use the language letting go, that I need to let go of things. You know, we say let go and let God. That we talk about letting go of our thoughts, letting go of emotions, letting go of pain. And he says, sometimes that may not be quite the right terminology. That perhaps the better way of saying it is let it be. He says, let it go implies that we have to force it, that we have to do something, but let it be has that sort of, that sort of acceptance. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer.
Let it be. Lovely.
Which leads us to our next spiritual practice, which is effortlessness. Effortlessness. You know, we make life so much more difficult than it has to be. If you know this is true, raise your hand. It's true. Yes. We do. We make it more difficult than it has to be. And I confess to this as well, that a lot of times we find ourselves striving and pushing and doing all we can to find answers and to create the life that we most want. Life becomes very effortful. But if you'll notice, at least as far as we know, the great spiritual masters did not scurry around frantic and stressed. Right? On the contrary, when we picture them, we see them being very unhurried. Right? Plenty of time. Very unhurried. And they convey a certain ease and gentleness. Essential, sort of an essential quality of what's important. And of course, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, sometimes really the better course is to stop pushing and to just sit back and wait, because the way will be made clear. So if you find yourself frequently being tired or agitated or discouraged, it's a pretty sure sign that you're trying too hard and you're doing too much. This happens to me occasionally, and what I've learned is to pull back and begin clearing the calendar, create some space. It may be time, if you're experiencing that, to simply do less. Our next, so those are the practices, waiting, doing less. Next spiritual practice is remembering. Remembering. So I had a good friend in ministerial school. She's now, her name's Reverend Cindy White. She's now the minister, I think, at Unity of Dayton in Ohio. And she said her mission statement for ministry was simply this: remember and remind. Isn't that beautiful? Remember and remind. Well, remember what, you might ask? Remember God. Remember who you are. Remember truth, the truth of who you are. Remember what you love. Remember what's important to you, and remember that someday you will die. And so today is a gift. Today is a precious gift. So I practice remembering that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I've been doing this more and more lately. It's sort of like practicing dying. I know that sounds kind of, I'm healthy, okay? Everything's fine. But what I do in this practice is that if I'm praying or meditating, when I'm doing my heart math, I imagine that it's spirit moving in and through me, right? It's spirit breathing through my heart, breathing back in. It's spirit moving through my day, animating this physical body. It's my intention to know myself so fully as my spiritual essence that when the end of this earthly life comes, I can release my physical body and still feel very whole and at home in spirit, hoping to make that a far easier transition. So we can practice remembering by doing small things with great love. You know, when we realize that we are spiritual beings and when we relate to ourselves in that way, anything we do can become a spiritual practice. Cooking, cleaning, paying the bills, answering the phone, cleaning out the refrigerator, vacuuming the house. All of it can be a spiritual practice. Brother Lawrence said, "It is not necessary to have great things to do. I turn my little omelet in the pan for the love of God." Sweet. Which leads to our next spiritual practice, simplicity. One of my very favorite quotes is this one from Meister Eckhart: "God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. So often we want more, we pile in more ideas, more stuff, more things. When really, when we release and let go, we get closer and closer to spirit. You know, all the great spiritual leaders lived very humble and simple lives. They didn't clutter them up with a lot of unnecessary stuff. And so the practice for us can be to go through each area of our lives, our work, our family, our home, our relationships, our finances, our possessions, our spiritual life, and look at what we could let go of. Look at what we no longer need or doesn't really serve us in what is most important. Let it go. I think of it like being in a hot air balloon. So if you're in a hot air balloon, you know, as you throw the baggage over the side, you throw the sandbags over the side, you rise, right? You rise. Simple. Live simply. Simplify, simplify, said Henry David Thoreau. And the last spiritual practice is gratefulness. In all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. Wayne Muller writes, "Our life is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be opened. Appreciate the blessings in your life, big and small." And he writes, "A single word of gratefulness can transform a moment of sorrow into a moment of peace. Try this, and you will see that it is true." So these five practices serve us well as we're adjusting to the reality of the end of our lives, but oh, how beautifully they serve us in this life. Think about this. If you were to live your life every day accepting what is, accepting what you cannot change, if you will, serenity prayer, accept what I cannot change. If you learn to be a little more effortless, if you learned how to pull back and wait rather than trying to force things, if on a regular basis you remembered who you are, ah, God. If you found ways to simplify and let go of what you don't need, what doesn't serve you, and if you live with a grateful heart every day. You know, it may help as we approach, as we come to grips with the fact that our time on earth in this physical body is limited, so it may help to remember that even though this body goes away, life goes on. And as we teach in unity, our spirit moves on, comes back in other forms. And so those, our deceased loved ones who have left us, have gone to a place where we too will arrive in our own way, in our own time. We shall meet again. In the meantime, we can make this life so beautiful and precious, appreciating even the very small things, a kind word, a turn of phrase, a coincidence, synchronicity that happens to us. Muriel Rukeyser wrote a little poem that sort of speaks to my heart along this lines of appreciating the little things. And she says, the poem is called "A Little Stone in the Middle of the Road in Florida." My son, as a child, saying, "God is anything, even a little stone in the middle of the road in Florida." Yesterday, Nancy, my friend, after a long illness, said, "You know what can lift me up, take me right out of despair?" "No, what?" "Anything." Prepare now for our meditation. Let's take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. One more time, a deep breath in and let it go. I invite you to relax into your seat. Allow yourself to lay aside any concerns, any to-do lists, anything at all. Let it all go. Let it be. Breathe into this now moment, this precious, perfect moment. Experiencing the grace of God upon you and Spirit within you. Animating everything you think and do. You are a spiritual being, having a human experience. Tune into this timeless presence, this eternal energy that is the truth of who you are. Accept its blessings and listen in the silence. Hearts are filled with gratitude as we realize that all is well. All is well and unfolding as it should. For us and for all people, all beings, this great chorus of life. We give thanks for this earthly journey, for this time around in this body, as this person. And we look forward to the discovery of greater truths and the knowing that even for those who have passed on and those who will pass on, that we shall meet again. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.